Well, good morning.
Praise the Lord.
I was talking, I think of Miss Mary this morning, did I? I preached on sin 2 weeks in a row, and where'd everybody go? Nah, I'm just kidding. I know it's really not about me and what I do or don't do. It's all about Jesus, really, right? God said He builds a house, you know, not me or the deacons or any of the ministers that we have going on here. It's great that we do that. You know, it's great that we try to reach out and encourage one another and edify each other and reach out, try to share the good news of the gospel. But it's really about God. He's the one that builds the house. He's the one that builds. He's the one that we all need to lean on. Amen? So we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. Luke 22, 31 through 34. Let's pray. Father, I just do lift up this family to You. Their son passed away. Lord, You know their needs. And Father, I just pray for that situation. I ask that You'll help them out. Pray for Dwan and David. Get them where they're going safely and help that situation and minister to the needs. Well, we got a lot of folks out this morning, so we just ask that You'll help them go to and fro and protect them, keep them safe as they're vacationing and visiting family. And we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. Lord, let us not ever forget that. A lot of hurting people, a lot of broken people, a lot of people who have needs. So we do, again, just lay that at the foot of the cross and ask You to help those folks. Lord, always, 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 thank You for our missionaries traveling around the world. And we pray for the Annie Armstrong missions, that we can make an impact in North America. We also lift up the world missionaries, and we lift up our military and keep them safe as they protect us. Help me teach and preach this morning. As always, I need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Luke chapter 22, 31, 32, 33, 34. Let's read. Simon, Simon, this is Jesus talking, obviously. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. I'll stop right there because some of your translations say sift you. And actually, if you look up that word you in the Greek, it's a plural. So really, it means, like, if I was talking to you guys, I'd say, and you guys, right? So I'm talking to you, but it's more plural. So in the Greek, that's a plural, you know, you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, and that's singular. So Jesus is pinpointing here, I'm praying for Peter. So verse 32, it says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, so Jesus knew He was going to turn back, right? He says, so when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with You to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know Me. This has got to be devastating for Peter. So when it's all happened and it's all played out, and in the movie The Chosen, if you've seen that, you see where Peter, you know, kind of looks at Jesus and realizes, man, I did this, you know, and it's like brokenhearted. I'm sure Peter was just broken at the core, you know, because he loved Jesus, you know. His pride got the best of him. You know, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So as they're in this journey going along, they're really actually at the beginning of what's called the Passover. And Jesus has told His disciples now about His second coming. So building a little groundwork here about His glory. But you see, the disciples really didn't really understand what was going on here. Jesus had to remind them one more time about His enduring love. And then He had a warning for Simon Peter. And I'll repeat the verse again. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. And Peter got proud. And he told him, he said, no, no, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll do wherever. I'll go to wherever. And I'll follow you. I'll follow you. But Jesus reminded him about how he was going to deny him. And Peter got very prideful. He said, really what happened is Peter got stumbled. He got tripped up. That's what we're going to talk about today. If you're not careful, Satan will reveal your faults. He will try his best to reveal what your faults are. Mine, yours, we all have weaknesses and strengths. But Satan really tries to get in there and try to reveal what our faults are. He's cunning and baffling. He's destructive. I try not to give a lot of credit to the devil. He is a persistent old cuss. Right? In the scripture, he is called the devil, which means the slanderer, the accuser of the brethren, and the father of lies. Here Jesus calls him Satan, which means enemy. He is the enemy. This verse says, Satan has asked you to sift you as wheat. Pay close attention to this one. People sift wheat to reveal the dirt and the debris in it. Satan wants to bring to surface our faults so that he can accuse you before God Almighty. But also, he wants to be able to accuse you to yourself. This is a real tricky one of him. So I'm exposing this lie. I'm exposing this truth, this lie, and trying to replace it with truth here. Satan will say, look at your past mistakes. Look at the things you've done. How can you do this? How can you do that? How can God use you now? Because look at what you did. He'll try to accuse you of not being right with God. But there's also someone who also points out our faults. And we talked in detail about him last week. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also points out the things that we need to change. So what's the difference between Satan's accusations and the Holy Spirit's conviction? It's a huge difference. The devil accuses us to condemn us, to bring us down, to try to trip us up. The Holy Spirit convicts to clean us. And that's one of the ways that we get closer to God. The Holy Spirit reveals something in us that we need to change, that we need to correct. One of my favorite Bible verses is, search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. The Lord had to check me this week and some things that I need to change. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, be careful. Your strengths can sabotage you. When I read that, I was like, oh, man. Be careful. Your strengths can sabotage you. Now, from my counseling experience, I know that sabotage is an inside job. Okay? It's happening up here in our head, in our mind. That's why we can't let the enemy get a foothold in how we think. We have to take our thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. This is super important to be able to walk a mature, victorious Christian life, is to take those thoughts captive. Remember, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's the liar and the father of lies. But Peter sabotaged himself. Yes, he got tripped up,
He was part of this process. Peter was so sure of his ability. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the inner city of New York City with you. I'm ready to go to Alaska and fight grizzly bears, whatever you want to do. Man, he was just super grandiose and, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to death. Peter got tripped up. I'm going to talk about that this morning real quick if you're taking notes. Here's three things that stood out to me in this whole story about being tripped up. Remember, forewarned is forearmed. So I'm kind of warning you ahead of time to watch out for the enemy tricks that could trip you up. Trip up one. Ready? Trip up one, if you're taking notes. Self-confidence. Self-confidence can trip you up. Peter was bragging when he should have been trusting Jesus. Now, Peter was already naturally aggressive and bold. A lot of people in the world now are trying to read books and go to seminars and so that they can increase their self-confidence. That is the one thing as followers of Christ that we need to lose. Now, I know on the surface, that sounds good. The world view of having self-confidence, it's not all bad. But as followers of Christ, if we want to grow in the Lord and walk in the Spirit, I highly encourage you not to seek out self-confidence. It can trip you up. I mean, look at the Scriptures. Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But everything you do, put God first and He'll direct your paths. Right? It didn't say, you know, keep saying, you can do it. I can do it. I got it. I've got it. And that's all good. I mean, in counseling, we teach about positive self-talk. You know, it's not all bad, yes. But if you really want to grow in the Lord and trust in God and walk spiritually, don't go there with the self-confidence. Proverbs 28:26 says, Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely before the Lord will be delivered. You've all heard this, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you do not deny your prideful self, me too. If you do not deny your prideful self, you will deny Jesus' lordship of your life. And what that means is we're not willing, or we don't want to like do everything God's telling us to do. We want to do what we want to do. You know, Jesus modeled that. Jesus didn't really want to go to the cross. If you read that scripture, he was like, oh, if there's any other way, Lord, but not my will, but your will be done. You know, that human side of Jesus. Amen? So we want Christ to have lordship of our life. In other words, I am the servant. He is my Lord. I'm willing to obey him and do what he's asking me to do. Second trip up. This can trip you up. Second thing, if you're taking notes, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was doing what? Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. Even Jesus asked him, could you not tarry just 1 hour? Luke 22, verse 44 and 46 says, and being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from the prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise up, pray, lest you enter into temptation." Everybody with me? Self-confidence is pride. And pride's twin brother is prayerlessness. It can trip you up. Some people are pretty confident that they can make it without prayer. I'm good. I have confidence in myself. I don't need to pray about this decision I'm about to make. Prayerlessness is arrogance. Let's all, including myself, be careful not to be tripped up by this. Jesus taught us to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Trip up three. This can trip you up. Fleshly courage. Fleshly courage. Remember, we are aiming for holy boldness, not human courage. When the saints of God fail in the Bible, they fail at their strongest points. Go and read these. They fell at their strongest points. David's strongest point was his integrity. And that's where he fell. Abraham, his strongest point was his faith. And he failed in that when he lied. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, "An unguarded strength is a double weakness." I'm going to say that again. Oswald Chambers said, "An unguarded strength is a double weakness." Amen? Be careful. Peter's strongest point was his self-confidence and his fleshly courage. He jumped into battle just before he denied Christ. In John 18:9, here it is, ready? The crowd laid hold of Jesus. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Man, that's pretty hooah. I mean, really, it's got a, he's manly man. He's a bad dude. One side of that, I'm okay with that, you know? But the other side, you know, what's wrong with that though, really? Well, really, there's four things wrong with that. And we'll cover them real quick. Four things. Number one, it was the wrong enemy. The devil loves to have you cutting off people's ears when he is really the enemy. The Bible says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities," and so on. The second thing that was wrong with that, I was kind of hoping Adam would be here. The second one is it was the wrong weapon. It was the wrong weapon. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." See, we are in a battle. Whether you believe it or not, we are. We are in a battle, and we will not win it with an economic sword, a political sword, or even a military sword. Third thing that was wrong with this, it was the wrong energy. He had the wrong energy. He fought a battle in the strength of his flesh. No wonder he fell, because the Bible says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Amen? And the last thing that was wrong with this, number four, is what was wrong with the way Peter did this thing. He was filled with bitterness and wrath. The Bible says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, getting ready to close a little bit. When we're tripped up, and sometimes we get tripped up in our life, don't we? We stumble and we get tripped up. And sometimes our actions surprise us. Oh, we get surprised. You see, it's obvious that Peter did not expect to deny Jesus Christ. Not Peter. He wasn't expecting that at all. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Please listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10:12. I'm quoting. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's literally what it says. And that's a Bible verse that we all know that comes next. Pride comes before what? A fall. We all have to be ready. We all have to be aware. See, pride will say things like this. When it happens to me, I'm going to be good. I love Jesus. When it happens to me, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be brave. If that ever happens to me, I'm going to... Be careful of that one, right? Be careful of that one. Pride comes before the fall. Got to keep our mind, our eyes on Jesus. You know, where I am weak, He is strong. This is day by day, isn't it? This is in our daily lives, day by day. But if you're trusting in your own abilities, your actions will surprise you. You'll find that you're not strong enough and you're not strong as you think you are. So what about Simon? He failed. He failed, Simon Peter. He failed and he failed big time. But listen, he learned that failure was not final. Failure is not final. Everybody say that with me out loud. Failure is not final. One more time. Failure is not final. Most every one of us in here have failed. Not counting the kids, but you, right? We've all failed. We've all made mistakes. We've all done something that we shouldn't have. That's not fine. That's not final. It's not the final answer. Looking back on our life, most of us, almost all of us really adults, could say something like this. Dear Lord, I have not been the Christian I should have been. That's all of us, really. The promise is this, that Christ will secure you. He has secured you. He has filled you with His Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Christ, right? He's filled you and sealed you with His Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, we are citizens of heaven right now. Our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We were born again. Now we've looked at several truths that could challenge us. I've given you some warnings about being tripped up. Now let's talk about real quickly something that I hope would comfort you. Yes, we have an adversary. But we also have an advocate. Amen? An advocate. Christ Jesus. Our friend. Our brother. Our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of everything, He lives on the inside of you. Think about that. As we look at the scripture again, Simon, Satan asked to sift you. Then it goes on to say, what did Jesus say? But I have prayed for you. He said, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, These things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. Listen closely. Jesus knows far more about you than you know about yourself. He knows you. Like we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit sees everything. God knows everything about you. Guess what? He still loves you. He still loves you. That's the grace I don't understand. I just choose to accept it. God loves you. Your actions may surprise you, but they do not surprise Jesus. That's precious to me. God loves us by sheer grace. He shows His mercy every day. Jesus Christ prays for us just as He prayed for Simon Peter. John 17:15. When Jesus was praying for disciples, He's praying His high priestly prayer over His disciples. Some of you remember this. This is what He said. And I'm getting ready to close. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. You might be saying, that's great, that's wonderful. He was praying for them, but he didn't pray for me. I'm here to tell you, yes, He did. If you'll move in that scripture a little bit further, to verse 20, listen with all your heart on this one. Jesus said this, I'm quoting, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He was talking about you and me. Jesus prayed for you. And He's still praying for you. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Every day, praying for us, lifting us up. Hebrews 7:25 says this, therefore He is able to save completely. He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him. Because He always lives to intercede for them. Now, Jesus could have stopped Satan from sifting Peter. Satan can't hurt you. He can't do anything to you. You're a born-again Christian. But lie and con and manipulate and try to influence in our emotions. We're protected. Peter going through this sifting, Simon Peter learned to renounce his self-confidence and to put his confidence in Jesus Christ. And through the stumbling process, through this failing, Peter became the flaming apostle of Pentecost. Because Jesus believed in him. And Jesus prayed for him. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is protecting you. Jesus believes in you. Really, let that set in. Jesus is praying for you. You. Specifically for you. Jesus is praying for you. And He believes in you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Lord, if I pray that if there's someone here this morning that's never accepted You as their personal Savior, and they'd like to give their life to you, I'd ask they could come down here and I'd be glad to pray with them. They can settle it today. And make sure that we're going to heaven, that we know Jesus is our Savior. Every eye closed and every head bowed, if you would like to sit there in your seat and just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd ask you to pray this with me. Just pray. God, I repent of my sins. I place my faith in Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection. From this day forward, I give you my life. And I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.